try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke, continuing in the book of Luke. It's been about a year now. We've been in Luke, and we're up to chapter 13. Hallelujah. Chapter 13 this morning. It's amazing as we go through preaching and teaching the Word of God how many times we'll hit just at the right place at the right time. That's why I really enjoy expository teaching and preaching. Just the Lord knows, and the Lord puts things together. And let's look this morning here in Luke. Jesus is going to be talking about what he's been reading in the newspaper, kind of talking to the people about current events, what's been going on in that area with Israel and those about them. Here in Luke chapter 13 and verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Whoa, he doesn't sound like a good thing Pilate did to those folks there. Basically, he shed their blood, mingled it with their sacrifices. He obviously didn't appreciate their religion too much. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? We look at a tragedy and we see something happen and we say, well, why them? That's what Jesus is talking about here. Why do you think that happened to those Galileans? Do you think it's because they were sinners above others? Verse 3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So Jesus is talking about a few tragedies that have occurred there in the area as of late. Kind of a news report of what's been going on. These are the things that people talk about. Bad news, you know, travels fast. And they're talking about these tragic events that have occurred. And so Jesus brings those events up and tells them, why do you think it happened to them? Do you think that they deserved it more than you? Or that they deserved it less than you? And Jesus says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It didn't mean that they would all die in the same way, but that they would die. And then what? See, we look at the tragedy that's occurred in the last few days up there in Connecticut, and that's a terrible thing. Killing them kids and all, just, you know, the news media is talking about, well, we need to find the motive. Well, come on, stop it. Stop it. The motive. Like, oh yeah, we found the motive. Everybody can go back to sleep now. We've taken care of it because we found the motive. What are you talking about, motive? Like there's a good reason you know, for something like that, you know? The motive for 9/11, like there's a good reason. I mean, stop it. You know, people are wicked. People are evil and they do bad and wicked things. You want a motive? Here's a motive for you. Kick God out and watch what happens. They didn't have to do any of that stuff in the schools. They didn't have to put bars up on the schools. They didn't need security guards. They didn't need metal detectors. They didn't need any of that stuff for our schools until they kicked God out back in 61 and 62. No prayer, no Bible in the schools. And then, oh, why are these terrible things happening? Well, come on. You told God you didn't need His protection. You told God you didn't need His blessing. Now here you are. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't know why that stuff like that happens. I can't explain that. All I know is what Jesus Christ said was simple, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He goes on and explains this. If you look there in verse 6, he spake also this parable. Whenever the Lord wants to give some more amplifying information, explain something, he'll give a parable many times. And that's so that those that understand, those that do believe will understand, and those that don't will just be confused even more. He spake also this parable, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now, why would the Lord give that parable in reference to what he had just spoken of? Because you have to remember, in all these things, there's a devotional application and there's a doctrinal application. And the doctrinal application here in Luke chapter 13 is specifically towards Israel. Jesus is talking to those Jews. And he tells them, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Jesus Christ came to be the Messiah for Israel. He's been preaching to them. What's been the message, Jesus? Repent. It was prepared before Christ came, John the Baptist. What's the message, John? Repent. And so he gives this parable, and interestingly enough, he says 3 years. You know how long Jesus has been in his ministry about that time? 3 years. And the Lord's been looking for fruit. What kind of fruit? John said, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. And the Lord's looking for that fruit, meat of repentance from the nation of Israel. He hadn't found any. And the Lord's telling him real plain, listen, there's a tragedy over here and you hear about it. There's a tragedy. I'm telling you right now, there's a tragedy coming in your life. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so the Lord says, give him one more year. Did you notice that? 3 years, cut it down. No. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's His mercy. That's His grace. That's His forgiveness. Lord, give him another year. He's only got a half year to go in His ministry. But He says, give him another year. You know what's interesting about that? After that half year of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and He prays on that cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Who's He talking about? Israel. And you know what happens? For the next 6 months, you get the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts. What's the message? It's the messages to Israel. It's not the gospel like you and I preach. Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know what it is? It's telling Israel to repent. It's telling Israel to repent. Israel, repent. Israel, repent. They won't repent. The Lord cuts it down. See? And now He's going to go to the Gentiles, beginning Acts chapter 8. The Lord changes course. He gave him an opportunity. He gave him an opportunity. He dealt with them. The apostles, they're preaching to Israel, repent. Jesus had preached to Israel, repent. John the Baptist had preached to Israel, repent. And they didn't repent. Warning after warning after warning. Repent, too late. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so, unfortunately, we see Israel cut off. Notice there in Luke chapter 13, you can see the context of Luke 13, specifically the Lord addressing those Jews. Verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Who did that? Who ate and drank in the presence of Jesus Christ? The Jews. Amen. Ate and drank in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. You see that? That's literally for that Jew, for Israel. Verse 27, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, ye all workers of iniquity. All ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. What happened? They rejected. Look down there, verse 34. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Very specific. No doubt who he's talking to. He's talking to them Jews. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets. That's not exactly what you call fruit, meat for repentance. You know what they're going to end up finally doing? Crucifying Jesus Christ, their own Messiah, the Son of God. They'll kill him right there in the midst of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How oft would have I gathered thy children together as a hen gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Free will. Calvinism out. Verse 35, behold, now watch it, your house, is left unto you desolate. There it is. There's the promise. See, that's literally, doctrinally talking about the nation of Israel. Your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. And that time will come, thank God. But until then, God has taken the nation of Israel and put them aside. You read Romans 9, 10, and 11. No doubt about it. The Lord has put them aside. And that's His chosen people. But they rejected the message. They refused time and time and time again to repent. They had heard the preaching. They had seen the signs and the wonders. There was no excuse for the nation of Israel not to repent. And so when they did not, God allowed them to reap what they've reaped for the last 2,000 years as a result of refusing to repent. And so He says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But we see that same thing devotionally for you and I today. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 13, verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I mean, all those people, think about it. All those people at Columbine, all those people there at New Hope, all those people in that movie theater, and these nuts going around and shooting. You say, well, Brother Ray, we should get rid of guns. That ain't going to fix nothing. The problem ain't the guns. The problem is wickedness. As a matter of fact, if all those places, if there had been some people there with guns, maybe they could have saved a bunch of lives. They ain't going to tell you that in the news media. Because their object is to get rid of the guns so they can take you over. That's all. Verse 4. Of those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. You think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I mean, you look at those twin towers, 9/11, what was it, 3,000 people? Died? Why those 3,000? I mean, don't you believe there's husbands and wives and kids to this day asking God, why mom? Why dad? Why them? See? And we can ask those questions, why? You know what it's going to come down to? Listen, one day, every single one of us is going to be buried in the ground if the Lord tarries. Amen? And the message is real simple. Every single one of you is going to die. That's what the Lord's telling them. It might not be in a tower. It might not be in a car accident. You may live. I was just talking to Kenny and Sheila. An uncle? Or? Yeah, your uncle. 94 years old, just passed away. 4 months ago, got saved. Boy, you want to talk about the long-suffering of God? How many times the Lord could just go, boop! That fellow right off into hell. You know what the Lord is just waiting for that fellow to do? He's waiting for that fellow to repent. Thank God he did. Thank God he got in. And last second, boy, he'll have a testimony in heaven, won't he? Glory. Amen. That just testifies to the goodness of God, putting up with that fellow all those years, waiting for him to get saved. The Lord did that with you a little bit, didn't he? The Lord put up with you a little bit. I know he did me. He put up with me. See, it was only 25 years. That was a long 25 years the Lord had to put up with. Amen. And all that time, any time, the Lord could have just said, boom, right there. We're out playing in the street one day, and a friend of mine, I feel this, I'm going out there, we're fixing, the car just went by, and we're fixing to play, get out there playing hockey out in the street. Car just went by, I'm fixing to step out there, a friend of mine grabs my shoulder and pulls me back. Whew, here comes a van right by, flying. One step away. If that friend hadn't grabbed me, one step away. How'd that happen? You say, who friend? I don't know. Somebody grabbed me. 11 years old. Pooh. If it had happened, could have it happened? Where would I gone? What a thing to think about. 11 years old. Right down the hill. Jesus says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Now listen, I'm getting into all that to get into this. This is the lesson this morning. There's two ditches on this thing. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 6. And you've got this fellow came out with a book now, and I can't even remember the name of the book or him. I guess not that important. But he came out, and the main emphasis in this new heresy that's starting to try to get out in these Baptist churches right now is this idea that repentance is not necessary for salvation. That's it. You don't need to repent. Just believe. Because after all, repentance is a work. Yeah, that's it. And it's getting out in Bible-believing churches. See? You know what Calvin teaches? You know what Calvinism teaches? That faith is a work. Therefore, the Lord has to choose you, otherwise you're a work in your way to heaven. You see how you can stretch that thing? And just keep stretching? Now listen, there's a ditch on either side. Alright, there's a ditch on either side. And the one thing of that is what they're teaching now. No repentance at all, just believe. The other side of that, on the other side, is lordship salvation. Amen. If Jesus Christ isn't Lord of all, He isn't Lord at all. You know, if you haven't repented of everything you've ever done in your entire life, and if Jesus Christ doesn't control you 100%, you're not saved. Well, that's not true. See? There's plenty of us, man. We got saved, and the Lord didn't control all of us. You say, well, He does now. Maybe, probably not. You're still saved. He wants to control you 100%, amen. But that doesn't mean you're not saved. But listen, when you got saved, there was repentance involved. Huh? Come on now. Wait, you have never tried to win someone to Christ? See, people that believe that stuff, they're not out soul winning. They couldn't be out there soul winning. I'm soul winning enough to know that I've showed people what to do to be saved. I've asked them, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Yes, I do. Do you believe He was buried and rose again? Yes, I do. Do you believe He can save you? Yes, I do. Would you like to be saved? Well, I don't have the right feeling. Well, I'm not ready. Well, wait a minute. They believe. Right? See? True belief is believing upon. See? It's not just believing about. Faith for salvation is faith in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. There's a trust factor. There's an entering in. It's only one step to salvation. It's not steps, you know, work your way to heaven kind of a thing. There's only one step. But that step is a result of a turn. Amen. Repent. That's turning. You had to go from the way you were going. Well, I'm a good Catholic. Well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, I've never killed anybody. I need to be saved. I'm wicked. I'm a sinner, right? Right? And that's repentance. And except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Have you repented? You said, well, I believed. I did what the teacher said, and I went forward and I said the prayer. Have you repented? When I got saved, you know why I got saved? Well, Brother Ray, because you had sinned. Well, kind of. It's more than that. I didn't get saved because of what I had done. I got saved because of who I was. How about you? It wasn't just that I had sinned. It's the fact that I was a sinner. I was undone. I was unclean. I couldn't save myself. I didn't think I could ever be a Christian because I knew I couldn't live a Christian life. But I did what the Bible said to do. I turned to Jesus Christ and I asked Him to save me. And He did. He gave me eternal life. Hallelujah. So there's a ditch on either side of that thing. Let's look into this now in Hebrews chapter 6. Is it necessary according to Scripture? Let's just look at the Scripture. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Let's find out what the Scripture says on this thing for a New Testament Gentile Christian in the body of Christ. Do you need to repent to be saved? There's the question. Let's find the answer from the Word of God. Father, I can teach this lesson. I have been given a gift to teach from Thee. I thank You for it. And I have the Bible in front of me, and I know it's true. I know it's Your Word. But Lord, I can easily do this because of that in my own strength and my own ability. I don't want to, and these people, they don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from heaven. They need to hear from God. I pray now, Father, You'd speak to hearts. God, manifest truth. Give light upon the Scriptures. I ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. All right. So, he's not going to be talking doctrine. He's leaving that. What kind of doctrines? Let us go on into perfection. Not laying again. Not laying again. The foundation. What's the foundation of your Christian life? The foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now look right there. That's the foundational doctrine for Christianity. Repentance. It starts with repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Well, then they're saved. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. When they shall fall away. No, it didn't say when. It said if. It's hypothetical. If. See? It didn't say when. If it meant when, it would have said when. He didn't say when. He said if. If they shall fall away. To renew them. Now watch it. Again. Under repentance. Meaning what? How were you renewed the first time? How could you be renewed? He says you can't be renewed again under repentance. Say why? Because you can only be renewed once. You can only be saved once. And what he's saying there is if you could ever lose it, could you ever get it back? Of course not. Isn't it funny? All the people that teach you can lose your salvation teach you can get it back. And the one place in the Bible it talks about if you could lose it says if you could lose it, you could never get it back. Isn't that weird? And yet they teach you can. You know what that is? That's somebody that's trying to keep you under their thumb and keep you into bondage. Keep you caught up with them. Amen. That ain't what he's talking about here. But notice that verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again under repentance. How were you renewed the first time? Context. By repentance. If you never repented, you were never renewed. You were never regenerated. You've never been born again. Unless you repented. Look at it in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. You say, I'm confused. I don't get it. All right, Acts chapter 17. Let's just let the Scriptures speak this morning. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. He's talking to a bunch of unbelieving, idolatrous Gentiles. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell of the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. He's preaching against their idolatry, see? Verse 30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. All right, the Lord's put up with it long enough. He put up with it for a while he was dealing with Israel. He kind of let those Gentiles go along with their idolatrous practices. No more. What does he say, verse 30? In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth Israel. No. Now commandeth who? All men, everywhere, to do what? What's God's commandment to the world? That's God's message to the world. Repent! Same message Jesus preached. Same message John the Baptist preached. Same message the apostles preached. Repent! Why? Verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. He's preaching to him Jesus. You know what he tells them? Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's the message. Look back in Acts chapter 11. Acts 11. When this thing first gets started, you're going from a completely Jewish religion to what will eventually be a worldwide faith as the true and living God seeks to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Here in Acts chapter 11 and verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted, what did God also grant to the Gentiles? Repentance unto life. God has now given the Gentiles an opportunity to repent and be saved. Amen. That's the message to the Gentiles, so that the Gentiles can now get into the body of Christ. Acts chapter 20. Look here in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came in Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Now he's talking here to all the pastors, the elders in the area of Ephesus. He's all these preachers are having a little pastor's conference, and the Apostle Paul is talking to him before he heads out. He'll probably never see him again. He wants to make sure he leaves him these parting words. And so he says in verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So he's out in the street, he's a street preacher, house to house, he's visiting, knocking on doors. Verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. What's Paul's message to the Jew and the Gentile? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how about that? That's what Paul's preaching. See, Paul didn't have it figured out like some of these Bible believers do today. They have advanced revelation above the Apostle Paul. Man, when you start getting to the place where you think you've got advanced revelation above the Apostle Paul, come let me know. All right? I don't believe you. I think you're a liar. Amen. If you think you know more than the Apostle Paul does concerning doctrine for the church. Amen. And Paul said it's necessary that you repent to be saved. You've got to repent toward God and believe the gospel. You can't do one without the other. That's simple as that. Look in chapter 26, Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. As the Apostle Paul now testifies to King Agrippa, verse 19. Acts chapter 26, verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Now, brethren, let me ask you something. How do you look at stuff like that? That's Acts 26. How do you look at something like that and then turn around and say, well, you know, we don't have repentance today. That's, you know what that is? That's a hyper-dispensationalist. That's what it is. You mark it down. That's a hyper-dispensationalist. That's where you're going with that stuff. Because you're trapped all the way up through the book of Acts. You've got to admit that in the book of Acts, it's necessary to repent. And you're going to look over there in Hebrews. You're going to look in Peter. You know what you're going to find? That it's necessary to repent. See? So what they'll try to do is, yeah, but Paul himself in his epistles, he didn't. You sure? You sure about that? Let's look in Romans chapter 2. You see, you know what I believe? I believe that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Amen. And if somebody doesn't repent and turn to God and get saved, they're going to burn like a torch. Amen. They're going to burn like frozen French fries falling into a vat of grease. I mean, sizzle, sizzle, sizzle. For how long? For all of eternity. You said, you really believe that? Yeah, I believe the Bible. That's very plain what the Bible teaches. There's a lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what I believe. Amen. Romans chapter 2, verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?
Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? See? How does a fellow make it to 104 years old and then get saved 4 months before he dies? How do you explain that? See? You know what that is? That's the goodness of God leading someone to repentance. I had him, Brother Holt, Steve Holt, he'd give you some testimonies of those that were 104, 105, 106 years old getting saved up at that nursing home that he had up there in Connecticut. 105, 106, getting saved and then dying a few months after they got saved. That's the long suffering. Now you look at that and then you see kids 6 and 7 years old in the school getting shot. Were they saved? Did they get a whole bunch of chances like some of you? You want to explain that? See, I can't explain that. All I know is what Jesus said is, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's the message. Look there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7. Great passage on repentance in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In reference to the fruit of repentance in verse 11, which is great. A lot of people, that they think they repented because they came to an altar and cried. That's not repentance. Repentance, John the Baptist said, bring forth fruits, meat for repentance. Repentance is, okay, now let's see what changed in your life. You see? It has to be more than crocodile tears and a wet altar. It has to be a change. What changed in your life? What's changed in your life since you've been saved? From the day you got saved, what changed? What happened? See? Can you give me fruits of repentance? But I filled out a card, but I got baptized. Doesn't matter. Can you show me the fruits of repentance? What changed in your life after you got saved? I can tell you what changed in my life, no problem at all. I can give you a list. Amen? Not everything the first day, but buddy, things started changing after I got saved. I don't know about you. If there hasn't been a change, then I can sure question your salvation. He says in verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh that. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to what? Salvation, not to be repented of. If somebody's truly repented and been saved, they'll never repent of getting saved. Amen? If you've ever truly been saved, I've never met anybody that was truly saved that repented that they got saved. That was sorry. Oh, man, I wish I hadn't got saved. No, I never met that person. Amen? Never met that person. That's something you'll never have to repent of. Look over there in John chapter 4. Let's look at it just a little deeper here and we'll be done. John 4. Gave an illustration to a lady one time. Her need to be saved and she gave the gospel. I gave her this illustration of these fellows. They used to go down off these cliffs. And they'd go down with a rope. And you kind of go down these cliffs and sometimes they go in like that. And then these little crevices and these little like caves. And that cave might be, say, as big as this area, this baptismal pool here, something like that. And they'd come down off of one of those cliffs with a rope. And they'd find one of those caves, and inside those caves there'd be these birds that would have these nests, and they'd lay eggs in there, and those eggs were a delicacy to these people that lived on this island. And so there's fellas, they'd go down, they'd risk their lives, they'd come down with those ropes, and they'd swing out with that rope, and they'd swing in, and they'd go right into that cave. And then they'd go in there, and they'd get all those eggs, and they'd put those eggs in a bag. And then what they'd do is they'd go in that cave, because it kind of came out from where the rope was, when they would jump in like this, they would take that rope and they would throw it way out. And so that rope would go out and then they'd go and they'd get the eggs real quick and then the rope would come back in so they could grab the rope and climb back up. But if they waited too long that rope would go back out again and that rope would come back in. And every time it would do that, that rope would come out, but it wouldn't come as close back the next time. It would go out. And come back in. And see, they had to make up their mind sooner or later that they had to go and grab that. Sometimes what they'd have to do is they'd have to let go of those eggs and lose out on those eggs just so they could get back on that thing and get up to safety. And you know what that is? That's a picture of repentance, God offering repentance. And that rope comes in, and somebody has to make up their mind. And the Lord's telling them, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And that rope goes back out. And that rope comes in. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. The rope goes back out. Rope comes back in. Sooner or later, time's up. That's repentance. You understand, that's more than just believing. You got it? Yeah, you believe. Now, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to turn to the Lord? Are you going to call upon Him? Are you going to trust Him? See, repentance. John chapter 4, and here's the story of the woman at the well. Maybe familiar with this passage here in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus Christ is right there with that woman, offering her the water of life. Amen. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Does she believe? Does she believe? Does she believe that Jesus Christ can give her the water of life? She sure does. And asks him for that water of life. And you know what the Lord's response is? Are you willing to repent? That's his response. Now watch it. What does he say? Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Why does he do that? Why does he do that? What's he doing? What is he doing? Doesn't he know her past? I mean, what's he want to bring that up for? Go call your husband, and I'll give you that water. What? You heard me. Go call your husband, and I'll give you... Well, Lord, you might not be aware of this, but, you know, I've had a few of those in my life. And actually, right now, I'm with a fella. We're living together. We're not even married. Come on now. How many of you know people that are living together right now? And then they can get saved and there's no conviction about what they're doing wrong before they get saved or after? See, that's a different salvation than I got. Now listen up. You go get mad at me all you want. I don't care. I'm just telling you that's a different salvation than I got. When I got saved, there was a desire in me to do right no matter what. I didn't know everything that was right. I didn't have it all figured out. But I knew I needed to start doing right. I needed to start pleasing God. See? And you're going to come to Christ, He's going to give you the water of life, and you're living in open fornication, and there's no guilt about it? What sin were you guilty for then? Something worse than that? All right, maybe that's the case, I'll buy it. Maybe you were out killing people. And you felt so bad about that that the living together thing just didn't seem that bad. Right? Okay, I'll buy that. Other than that, give me an excuse. You understand? You see? What we got in Christianity today? This little 1, 2, 3, repeat a prayer after me and get you baptized, get you in the church, get you tithe, and we're good. What is that? What kind of work is that that's been done in a life and in a heart? That's not my Jesus. Now listen, getting saved is not hard. Getting saved is easy. It's a gift. But you have to come to Jesus Christ to get that gift. See? Like I've asked before, if Jesus Christ is in your heart, is He aware of it? If Jesus Christ saved you, does He know about it? How'd you get in? How'd you get saved? You know what Jesus does right here? He tells that woman, hey, what about that sin? And then, you know what she does to try to cover it up? She runs to her religion. And then he lets her know, your religion ain't any good. He preaches against her religion. You know what he tells her? You worship you know not what. Did you read it? That's what he tells her. He says, salvation's of the Jews. God's a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Are you ready now to get saved? And she is. And the Bible says, and when she did, she left her water pot. Amen. Why? She was satisfied. She found true salvation. That's the picture. She found true salvation. See? But it was more than just believing. See? There had to be a change of heart. There had to be a change of mind. So what is that? That's repentance. That's repentance. Look at it, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Jesus says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He told that to Israel. He said, it's been 3 years now. You haven't repented yet. Give you one more year. They didn't repent. What happened? Exactly what He said would happen. Your house is left unto you desolate. How has Israel been doing the last 2,000 years? And it's going to stay that way until the day they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. The Lord always keeps His word. What has the Lord said to you and me? What has He said to people today? All over this world today, what's the Lord's message? Yeah. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's the message. We're supposed to take that message out. We're supposed to tell people there's hope. There's a place of refuge. Amen. There's a hiding place in the cleft of the rock. There's a place that you can be safe from the wrath of the death angel as he passes over. Just get the blood on the doorposts. Just get protected from the wrath of God that is to come. That's not the message you're hearing preached out there. The message you're being hearing preached out there is Jesus loves you and He wants to share His life with you. And that's not salvation. Salvation is understanding the gospel that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again. And you need to turn to Him as a sinner deserving judgment for your sins. Amen. And trust Christ your Savior. That's not what's being preached a lot out there these days, see? Different message. Why? It's marketing techniques. Churches have become big business, see? It's just all about getting them in and whatever it takes to get the funds. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. What promise is He talking about? Yeah, that He's coming back. Amen. That's the promise. Look at verse 4 and saying, where is the promise of His coming? That's the context. It's His return.
the Lord hasn't come back yet. Does that mean he's not going to keep his promise? No, he's going to keep his promise. But until then, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many does the Lord to see perish? None. But to be saved, what does he say they have to do? Yeah. They have to repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. For God so loved the world. You all know the verse? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not but have everlasting life. Repent or perish is the message. That was the message 2,000 years ago. That, brothers and sisters, is still the message today. Repent or perish. Turn or burn. Ye must be born again. I just gave you my message I preach out on the street. You say, you preach that out on the street? That's the message I preach out on the street. Say, why? Because that is the message. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We hear these tragedies, and it's terrible. It's terrible. So what's the answer? The answer is Jesus Christ coming back and fixing this world. That's the answer. Until then, you're going to have wickedness, you're going to have evil, you're going to have tragedies like this going on. Amen. Getting rid of guns ain't going to fix it. Guns are illegal in Mexico, brethren. How'd that work out for them the last 5 years with guns being illegal? They had more people killed in guns in Mexico than we did in the United States. Where's the illegals? How do they get them? Our own government gives them to them, that's how. Yeah. Amen. So don't worry about the citizens being armed. That ain't who the Constitution told you you're supposed to be worried about. Amen. Best read up on a little history there. All right. Let's stand for prayer. Same old message. Repent. Repent or perish. All right. Brother Jacob, go ahead.